WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Governor Northam says it would be an act of love to stay away from big family gatherings on Thanksgiving. As the coronavirus surges in Virginia, Northam says the state is ready to roll out vaccines as soon as they're available. And we meet one woman on Virginia's eastern shore dealing with a steadily rising sea level. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, November 19. Governor Ralph Northam is not announcing any new COVID-19 restrictions before the Thanksgiving holiday, despite the fact that Virginia is now reporting the highest number of daily new cases since the start of the pandemic. Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain reports.
In his press conference Wednesday, Northam reminded Virginians of the latest restrictions that began this week, including a 25-person cap on social gatherings. When asked about the decision to institute those new mitigation efforts last week, Northam cited what he's seen happen in other parts of the country.
What really affected me is seeing mobile morgues outside of hospitals because there's no place to put the dead. We don't need that to happen in Virginia.
Virginia's surge hasn't reached those levels yet, but experts warn if current upward trends continue unchecked, hospitals could reach capacity by the end of the year. Northam urged Virginians to consider those factors as they plan for the Thanksgiving holiday.
So let's all act together to make sure that next year, everybody that we love is at that Thanksgiving table.
Officials are asking people to reduce the size of their gatherings, wear masks, and if possible, just go virtual. I'm Mallory Nopain.
Northam also says Virginia is ready to roll out COVID-19 vaccines as soon as they're available, and he expects Virginia will rely heavily on the federal government to pay for them. From partner station VPM, Whitney Evans reports.
The Virginia Department of Health estimates the statewide vaccination campaign will cost $120 million. Governor Northam says he believes the new administration in the White House and Congress will step up to cover the cost. Health officials suspect a vaccine will be available by mid to late December. Pharmaceutical companies Moderna and Pfizer both announced promising trial results this week.
I have to caution everyone that light is a few months away still. These vaccines will take time to distribute. Until then, we all need to keep taking precautions.
State Health Commissioner Norm Oliver says they have 14 sites for ultra-cold storage for the Pfizer vaccine. Moderna's doesn't have to be as cold. Oliver says the vaccine will be limited at first to healthcare workers and first responders.
Whitney Evans reporting. The State Board of Elections in Virginia voted Wednesday to certify the state's election results. That was 2 days later than expected because of a COVID-19 outbreak in the city of Richmond's voter registration office. The board's 3-0 vote certified results for president, U.S. Senate, U.S. House elections, and state constitutional amendments. In a meeting that lasted just 10 minutes without comment, the Richmond Times-Dispatch reported. Virginia's certification comes as former Vice President Joe Biden prepares to assume the presidency, and President Donald Trump continues to refuse to concede the national election and to spread lies and disinformation about the results. Lawmakers and elections officials already are talking about potential changes to how the state reports election results on election night. During the pandemic, more than 2.8 million Virginians voted in advance, either in person or via mail ballots. Many localities did not report their advance votes until after 11 p.m. on election night, leading to late swings from Republicans to Democrats in several contests. Charlottesville's Grand Illumination Holiday Tree needs a name. Dozens of names were submitted for the annual tree naming poll. Now a committee has narrowed it down to their favorites, which include Alex Trebek, Snoop Logg, and Spruce Bader Ginsburg. Voting is open until Friday on Charlottesville's Grand Illumination Facebook page. The holiday tree lighting will air December 4th in a special broadcast on NBC 29 and CW 29. Finally today, 5 years ago, scientists said residents of Tangier Island may become among the first climate change refugees in the continental United States. Others living along the shores of the Chesapeake Bay face a similar fate, and some of them have decided to live with the rising waters. Virginia Public Radio's Pamela D'Angelo reports.
You know, I've lived here 20 years, even though it's on sinking land and everything, while I'm here, you know, it's okay.
For 20 years, Miriam Riggs has watched the waters rise around her house and flow slowly up her street. On the bay in Accomack County, she lives in one of two of the lowest places on Virginia's eastern shore. Most of Riggs's neighbors moved to higher ground, some 60 years ago.
They used to grow onions and field crops here. Across the street, they had a watermelon field. One time, you know, this time of year, it was late summer, early fall, and the tide came in and all the watermelons started floating away and floating down the street and everything.
When Riggs bought her house, she had no idea the property flooded.
It was kind of depressing at first to realize everything that I had invested in this property is liable to be just be washed away at some point.
She elevated her house with a FEMA grant, but with each storm or seasonal high tide, the water moved higher up her road, silently creeping around her house. Now she knows when it's coming, so she parks her car on higher ground.
I had to make a conscious choice over the years. Am I going to stay here and cope with this, adapt to it, or am I going to move to higher ground?
She shopped for houses inland, but decided to stay. An artist, she's documented changes on her property. Her freshwater pond where box turtles thrived is now salt water, occupied by blue crabs. The walk down to her cove is littered with dead trees, some standing as sentinels of climate change. In the distance, a bald eagle has built a nest in the remaining tall pine.
I had apple trees in the yard. They died.
Elliot White Jr. is doing postdoctoral research at the University of Virginia on the loss of coastal forests along the Gulf and Atlantic coasts. Pine, cedar, gum, bald cypress, magnolia, and oak make up most of those forests. To illustrate the impact of coastal forests lost in these regions of the U.S., he refers to a NASA study of 16 years of data on the loss of mangrove trees, which are considered coastal defenders.
So just in the United States alone, over a similar time period, we've lost six times as much coastal forest as we've lost mangroves globally. So that kind of, at least for me, paints a very vivid picture of the scale and the magnitude of the problem that's going on.
Not much can be done to stop salt water from killing forests in a natural setting.
In some ways, we have to become comfortable with a certain amount of forest that we're going to lose and just understand it. Addressing climate change is something that it's not going to happen in the individual lifetime. Like, we've started the momentum and it's going to take a long time to truly slow it down. So that's a multi-generation challenge.
Riggs said she likely won't be able to pass her property on to her children, but remains comfortable with her decision to live with the rising waters.
Anytime that we human beings want to live this close to nature, we have to live with the understanding and with the conscious knowledge that we are putting ourselves in peril to some extent, and we have to be prepared not to fight nature or try to put up bulkheads or fill in the marsh, but we have to embrace the changes that are coming our way.
From the Eastern Shore, I'm Pamela D'Angelo.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. Stay safely connected and enjoy your Thursday.